Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host, and this is a podcast where we take a look at the crazy world around us through the lens of Scripture, that is to say, a biblical worldview. Often we say crazy world, but it's really a sad world. And two unrelated events, or at least seemingly unrelated events, illustrate this for us today, I'm sorry to say. Passages that would come to mind would be, "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God," or "A fool has said in her heart, there is no God, and the wages of sin is death." We see this illustrated in the decision-making of two people, one an unbeliever and one a believer. I'm talking about Renee Good and Philip Yancey, the renowned Christian author, each engaging in their own version or species of foolishness and suffering the consequences. And regrettably, their choices result in a great deal of collateral damage. Damages to themselves, of course, but also damages to those around them, many of whom they say they love, and damage to the larger culture in its own way. The Renee Good shooting, and if you haven't heard about it, you should just Google Renee Good. You'll see all kinds of videos and all kinds of vitriolic posts on the internet. But Renee Good basically interfered with a lawful law enforcement operation and got herself killed. Now, there are all kinds of curated and edited videos that make it appear that she was somehow an innocent victim who showed up at a protest and the evil ICE officers shot and killed her, but it's a little more complicated than that. Videos keep coming out, and if you watch all the videos, you see that her conduct the 3 minutes before the shooting involved her blocking traffic, taunting the ICE officers, dancing in her vehicle as she honked her horn time and time again, and after about 3 minutes, they confront her. She is interfering with an ICE raid on criminals. As we know, ICE is focusing on a particular criminal element in the illegal alien population. She and her wife show up and visibly taunt the officers, and eventually they move in to arrest or challenge Renee Good. They tell her to get out of the car. Yes, they use bad language, and then you can hear her wife say, "Drive off, baby." While this is going on, an officer is moving from left to right around the front of her car to confront her, but she speeds off, and a video shows her sideswiping the officer. He draws his service weapon and shoots and kills her. There's a lot of controversy about, well, he should have gone around the back of the car. Well, what if she'd backed up and hit him? He had three choices: move around from left to right in front of the car to help the other officer remove her from the vehicle, or go behind the vehicle and perhaps get run over that way, or perhaps climb over the top of the vehicle. People like to say, well, the officers gave her conflicting demands. The only person who told her to move her car was her so-called wife. So her car lurches forward and strikes an officer. He draws his gun and shoots her. She's coming at him with a 4,000-pound bullet, whether she realizes it or not, and he draws his weapon and shoots. This is perfectly legal. She is using deadly force. Her lack of care or caution was her undoing. She ignored the laws of this country. She ignored federal law. She interfered with a federal law enforcement operation. It's never a good idea to put yourself in harm's way, to insert yourself in such a situation. At that point, she sort of became a law unto herself, her own God. She conducted herself as if she were, and she paid the price. Her general lack of consideration for others, the welfare of others, the welfare of her children, is illustrated by the fact that she's laying down on her horn early in the morning in a neighborhood where people are trying to sleep. Much is being made about her being a mother of three, and as a mother of three, she should have thought about the consequences of her actions and the collateral damage or potential collateral damage. But she and her wife were out there taunting police officers, taunting, and ICE are legitimate law enforcement officers. She's taunting federal officers. They show her patience. They tell her to get out of the car. She speeds off and she hits one of them, and he defended himself, whether you like it or not. Ultimately, she's a lawbreaker. She has violated the law. These men are engaged in lawful legal activities, whether you like it or not, and she inserted herself into it. She blocked the road with her car. She interfered with a law enforcement operation. Then she tried to get away and got herself killed. People talk about her being a warrior, a protest warrior. Well, a protest warrior like Martin Luther King or others in the civil rights movement engaging in civil disobedience would have allowed themselves to be arrested. So now here we have all this angst and controversy, and for what? Someone very uncharitably puts it this way: foolish people doing foolish things, suffering the consequences of foolish behavior. And now, because of her, you have this ICE officer whose identity is being disclosed, his address is being disclosed, and he's facing death threats for enforcing the law of the land and for defending himself against this onslaught from this woman in an SUV. Foolish people in foolish places doing foolish things. She's a fool. She shouldn't have been there. It was foolish to go and interrupt a law enforcement operation, and she suffered the consequences of her foolish actions. It cost her life. It ruined the life of her children, probably, and it's probably ruined the lives of this law enforcement officer and his family. And what do we read in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2? That we are to respect to every human institution, that we are to respect the laws of the land, the government. The king does not bear the sword for nothing. Certainly, we grieve for the lives of those whose lives have been disrupted and destroyed in the aftermath of her foolish conduct. And we grieve for her in some sense because she has discovered now that she's not God. There is a God. It's the Christian God, and she has thumbed her nose at him and is suffering eternally now. Let's move on to another fool, and that is Philip Yancey. Philip Yancey just confessed to an 8-year affair. I think he's 75 or 76, which means he's been cheating on his wife since he was in his late 60s. Now think about that. At the end of his Christian life, he's confessed to an 8-year affair. Now, of course, Yancey is a believer, but at some moment he decided that there was no God, at least temporarily or situationally, and he committed adultery. Almost 50 years ago, he made a vow to God and his wife to love her as Christ loved the church, to nourish her, to cherish her, to wash her in the water of the word, to take care of her, to be willing to die for her if necessary, and certainly to die to himself. And now it comes out that he's been cheating on her with this woman, a married woman, who's been cheating on her husband. Think of the collateral damage that he has caused for a little pleasure. He's betrayed his wife and children. He's betrayed the husband and the children of the woman he's committed adultery with. He's betrayed his God. He's brought reproach upon the name of Christ because he's caused the pagans to blaspheme, to say, "See, another Christian hypocrite." And I suppose the thing that really bothers me, humanly speaking, as I've read comments online about what a brave man he is to confess his sin and to be truthful, this coincides with a simultaneous diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And I don't know what role that has played in his confession, except that his dear wife is now going to have to take care of him in his time of cognitive and physical decline. Perhaps somehow that's broken his spirit and brought him to some form of repentance. And that repentance is good, but let's be full of grace and truth. The truth is, and the grace is, that there's no sin that cannot be forgiven. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. But all these people praising him seem to lack discernment at some level. They should be praising his wife, who has agreed to stay with him despite his untrustworthiness. The reality is that his repentance is yet to be demonstrated. Repentance is a process, not simply just an event. It's the putting off and putting on of behaviors. You can check this out in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 7, not as a worldly regret, but a godly sorrow for having sinned against a holy God. Philip Yancey's confession of sin is his minimal service of worship to the God, his God. The reality is, Philip Yancey has engaged in a pattern, an 8-year pattern of deceit, lies, duplicity, adultery, and hypocrisy. Even his writing at times has tended towards sort of the cheap grace end of the spectrum, and perhaps now we know why. Philip Yancey is not a hero. He's a sinner saved by grace. And to that extent, he's a sinner like you and me. But let's be clear. In our sin, when we confess our sin, we're not heroes. We're just doing what we should be doing at minimum. Given his age and infirmity, Philip Yancey has disqualified himself from public ministry permanently. He is not a one-woman man. He is not above reproach. And he should spend the rest of his days loving his wife as Christ loved the church, pouring himself out for her while he can. But let's be clear. What we have is a foolish man who made a foolish decision and has suffered the consequences for his foolish behavior. And he has caused much collateral damage. To be clear, the takeaway for us is, by the grace of God, there go I. But that in no way makes Philip Yancey a hero or justifies at any level his behavior. The wages of sin is death, and sometimes that death is the death of a ministry, the death of a reputation, the death of credibility, the death of a marriage, the death of all kinds of things. And Rene Goode and Philip Yancey, through their foolish behavior, have brought about consequences to themselves and others that are beyond regrettable. One lost their life, one has lost their ministry and their credibility. Both suffer consequences for their foolish choices. Neither are heroes whose conduct or actions need to be copied, but hopefully forgot. So now we pray for the people who have to pick up the pieces. I recognize this will sound harsh to some, but that's just the way it is. Well, I've said enough for now. Thank you for listening. Please give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you listen to. If you have questions or comments, email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com. KeithCrosby@yahoo.com. Put podcast in the memo line and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks again for listening. This is Keith Crosby signing off. May God bless you and God keep you.